very deep, and I want us to pay attention. Psalm chapter 1, verse 3. The Bible said, sorry for the media issues. By grace of God, and we're trying to work on getting a new laptop and new systems. But we'll do it old school. Hallelujah. Amen. So bring out your Bibles, let's look at it. Or bring out your iPads, let's look at it. The Bible said there in Psalm chapter 1, verse 3, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth prospers. Now, there are things there that we'll be looking at this morning. I'm looking at the word planted, a blessed man that is planted by God. For the past 2-3 weeks, we have been looking at the portrait of a blessed man, the portrait of a blessed life, that God releases a blessing on a people. But first of all, he lays a foundation of righteousness and holiness. God lays foundations. God is a God of order. God has an order to things. He didn't just create man. He first of all set things in motion before he brought man into the environment. So God is a God of purpose. God is a God of order. So the first thing that God says, I want to bless a man, but before I bless that man, I must set him on the right foundation. And that's the foundation of holiness and righteousness, which we established. Secondly, it must be a man that must have passion for my word. It must be a person that must delight in the word of God. Last week, we looked at delighting in God's word, having passion for God's word, having intensity to study God's word. And not only to study it, but to meditate upon it. That means to make sure that the word of God continuously, it goes through with it. Hallelujah. This afternoon, we see that he said, once the man has these two pillars, he brings him into the next level. At the next level, he said, he shall be like a tree planted. Now, the word planted, we're going to do a lot of study today. He says, it shall be like a tree planted. If you look at that scripture, you cannot plant a thing just by itself. He said, he shall be like a tree planted. It means that he's taken into a space. He's taken into an environment. He's taken into an environment. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. Let it not distract us. I want everyone to just engage with the word. Before those things came, we have existed. The word planted indicates that the tree did not find itself by itself, but it was put there by someone. When you plant something, it means to set or to put in a particular position. When a farmer plants, he picks the seed, or he picks the seedling, or he picks whatever it is from the nursery and locates the position where he can put that tree. So there is no farmer, there is no husbandman or any person that deals with farming that will take the tree and put it in a space that will choke it. No. The farmer wants that tree to blossom. The farmer wants that tree to flourish. So he must put it in the conditions that are in, that will enable him to grow and to flourish. So when God says he shall be like a tree planted, it means that God's saying, when I've established this man, I take him in the seedling form, in the form he is, and place him at a particular position where he will flourish. where he can flourish, where I can bring all resources available to make him become what he's supposed to be. So the Bible said, he shall be like a tree planted, set in position, situated, settled, fixed at a position where God can cultivate him. Now, God wants to cultivate us. God wants to set us in a position. He will plant us. Hallelujah. I say he will plant. So God puts a man in a spot where his presence can commune with the man. God did it from the beginning. It's a pattern of God. If you look at the beginning, Genesis chapter 2, from verse 8, it said, and the Lord God planted a garden. I'm going to tie everything together. You see that as the pattern of God. The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. And there he put a man who he had formed. Now, God settles everything and plants a garden in Eden. You know, sometimes we think that it is the garden of Eden. No, no. Sometimes we think Eden is a garden. Eden is not the garden. He said he planted a garden in Eden. Eden is not a garden. There was a garden he planted in Eden. Eden is God's presence. Eden is the atmosphere of God. That's why you can't find it. That's why you can't find it in the world. People have looked at locations, maps, and everything. Eden was an atmosphere. He carries a garden and plants it in Eden because in Eden it will flourish. Now, God plants the man. He said, this man will be like a tree. So he's making an example of what the man will look like. He'll be like a tree planted in an environment where he will flourish. Now, because God always does that, he creates a garden, he plants it in Eden, and he puts the man there, because in that place the man will flourish. He will find purpose, he will find destiny. So God does that. And where does he plant this man? If you look at that scripture, Psalm chapter 1 verse 3, he said, planted by the rivers of water. Same pattern. By the rivers of water. By the rivers of water. Now, he didn't say by the river of water. He said by the rivers, multiple. By the rivers of water. By the rivers of water. Not by the river of water, and not by the rivers of waters. There are two things I've said there. He said, by the rivers of water. Now, when God created Eden and put the garden in Eden, God also released rivers of water. He had four rivers were going through the garden in Eden. Four rivers were going through the garden in Eden. Same pattern. So God says, I bring the man into an environment where I release my rivers to carry my essence to the man. To carry what God contains to the man. Rivers will bring nutrient. Rivers will bring capacity. Rivers will bring everything to assist the man to blossom. So God is interested in us blossoming, and God is interested in putting us in a position in the environment of God, in the environment of God, in the Eden of God, so that he can release rivers from every dimension. If you look at Eden, the rivers came from the east, the west, the north, the south. And those rivers began to stream into Eden. Let's look at it. Second Genesis, chapter 2, verse 9. And out of the ground, made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out to Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted, and it became four heads. The name of the first was Pison, that which compasseth the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold, resources. And the gold of that land is good. There's beryllium and there's onyx stone. And the name of the second river was Gihon. The same is he that compasses the whole land of Ethiopia. That's Africa. And the name of the third river is Hiddekel, that which goeth out from the east of Assyria. And the fourth river is Euphrates. So God releases rivers into Eden, rivers to blossom that garden. So when God says, you will be like a man planted by the rivers of water. Now, of water means it's coming from one source, and that's God. That's why it's not of waters. If it's of waters, it will be from different sources. He said, it's coming from me. I will release multiple streams that will come and influence your life and make it blossom. That's why you need to ask God this morning, plant me in the atmosphere of God. I need to be planted in God's atmosphere. That's what happened to Eden. That's what happened in the beginning. God sets up the beginning and releases the rivers. He said these rivers, they contain gold. They contain precious stones. They contain everything that can access that river. That garden is going to be flourished. That garden is going to have everything that will make it become what it's supposed to become. So God says, I will put the man into that space because he needs to flourish. Because when he comes out from there, he dominates. The Bible said he told man, dominate the world, subdue the earth. What? He can't do that if he is not in Eden, if he does not have access to the rivers of God. So what God wants us to do is that God locates the right place and plants the man. God will locate us this season. I didn't hear an amen.
Amen.
God will locate you and place you where he can access you to the rivers of living water. He said, I am the living water. I contain rivers of living water. Rivers of living water. That's what he's talking about. Those are the four rivers. The four rivers that happened in Genesis. He said, you access that river. God wants us to access the river. Like I said, its source is one. The water flows into the man that God has planted. Eden means open door. Eden means a moment, a presence, a delightful presence. That's what Eden means. And if we look at it, the rivers of living water, the Spirit of God influences that river. The Spirit of God uses that river to overwhelm our lives. And there is an effect. What is the effect? Number one, you will fruit in season. He said, the man bringeth forth his fruit. His fruit. There's something inside of you waiting to come forth. He didn't say he will bring forth another fruit. He said he will bring forth his fruit. His fruit. He brings forth his fruit in his season. Now, it means that for each one of us here, there is a season. You know, sometimes we like to worry about our neighbor and worry about Mr. X and Mr. Y. Every man has his season. Sometimes you may actually be in the season of winter. And God wants you to just knuckle down because that's the season. There's something to learn from the season. But we want to worry about the man that is in the season of harvest. That is his season. He said, but when it comes to your season, you will bring forth. That's what he means. He said, you will bring forth in his season. He will bring forth. So what we need to pray is that, Father, may I bring forth in my season.
Amen.
When it comes to my season, may I bring forth. May that comes from me flowing from the essence, the river, the Spirit of God flowing into me, may it bring forth an essence, may it bring forth what God has designed for me. He said, number two, his leaf shall not wither. It means that the glory of God upon his life will not be diminished. The glory of God upon his life will not be diminished. He will have a constant flow of God's presence to him. A God infusion. God begins to infuse his life continuously. The rivers of living waters continuously. He will experience freshness. You know, sometimes you are not experiencing freshness. It means maybe you are not in the river of living waters. You are not in the atmosphere of God. He said that man continuously, his leaf does not wither. He's experiencing freshness. His leaves are flourishing. It's not dry. There's no dryness because there's a flow of God's river into it. There's continuous flow of God's presence, continuous flow of God's access into his life continuously. He's continuously refreshed. He's consistent in God's presence. Number three, whatsoever. Now, it's limitless. You can't limit God. Say, whatsoever he do it. Whatsoever he does, even if he does something irrelevant, even if he's selling water on the street, whatsoever he does prospers. Why? He's in God's presence. He's in God's Eden. He's in unlimited supply of God's presence. There's no limit to what God can do to him. There's no limit to what God can do to you. There's no limit to what God can do through you. There's no limit to what God can do through you. There's no limit. Whatsoever he does, whatsoever, he does prosper. There's no limit. There's no limit to what God can do in your life. I want you to know that there's no limit to what God can do in your life. There's no limit to what God can do in your life. You know, sometimes we limit ourselves, but God is saying, when I plant you in the environment of growth and release my rivers to your life, there's no limit. There's no limit to what I can do with you. There's no limit to the extension of what God can do with you, because you carry the essence of God. You carry God's essence. You are in God's garden. You are in God's Eden. You are in God's atmosphere. God plants you there so you can flourish. That's what God plants you there for. So, if we are not expressing a flourishing in our lives, we need to check, am I planted in God's Eden? Because God's Eden releases all you need and whatsoever you think or imagine. I want you not to think limitless, not to think limited, but be limitless in your thinking. Think limitedly. Open up your minds. Be limitless in thinking, because we serve a limitless God. And then, whatsoever he does, prosper. A man that whatsoever he does prosper, if that happens in a life, is a man of complete dominion. It brings you into dominion. It brings the man, say, dominate the earth, subdue the earth, take control over the fishes of land. That cannot happen if he's not experiencing God's river. He begins to dominate the earth. He dominates his world. He dominates, he has the sphere of influence. He begins to take control of what is happening in his home, in his suburb. He takes over the environment. And that's the calling of God concerning this church. That God is calling us as a people to raise us as disciples of Jesus and to influence the world with the kingdom culture, with the kingdom mindset, with the kingdom way of doing things. And the way of the kingdom is that we, as a church, are planted by the rivers of water. We are planted in God's Eden. We are planted in God's environment, because that's where we can flourish. That's where we can grow. Let's be on our feet. We're going to pray. That's where we can grow. That's where we can flourish.